Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
We thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close-Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you with us today. A great day. Happy New Year continued from all of us at CUTV News and Close-Up Radio. Pleasure to have you here and from all around the world, too, because we reach a global audience here on the broadcast. And speaking of that, our guest, who is from Peterborough, Ontario, Canada, is joining us. And it's a pleasure to have her as well. Her name is Heather Clayton. You know, an organization's success depends on its leaders, and great leadership is only possible when a leader continuously seeks to develop their skills. Great leaders inspire others by generating a positive culture in the workplace. However, with so much pressure and high expectations, today's leaders struggle with the complexity of their role. Strong leaders need coaches to mentor, guide, and challenge them effectively to shift their mindset to new ways of thinking. Through coaching, our very special guest, Heather Clayton, creates a space for leaders and teams to strategically leverage their strengths in the workplace. Her objective is putting the spotlight on not only what they do or, you know, really how we be as leaders. It's critical to focus on building awareness through relationship building and emotional intelligence and paying attention to every aspect of who they are. The impact of leadership can literally make or break an organization. Now, through her coaching, Heather encourages her clients to think strategically about their people and how to strengthen their work within the organization. With her solid background in education and her influential work in the corporate world for over 20 years, Heather has developed a keen sense of working with teams and groups. She believes team coaching is vital to maximizing performance for what stakeholders are calling them to do. So the most effective teams have leaders who are fully engaged and create opportunities for accountability and skill development as they learn to coach one another. This is very effective to get people both individually and collectively moving in positive directions. And working with leaders from different sectors such as education, IT, financing, and human resources, all of it has given Heather an edge in understanding a variety of industries. A few years ago, she began coaching for a police service and is inspired at the level of integrity and the interest in the growth of those leaders she had the opportunity to coach. One particular client, a woman in a senior leadership role, sought Heather out, hoping to find her authentic voice and bring her unique skills to the table. Through their coaching work, she now envisions greater leadership roles for her future, and she's privileged to walk with her in that journey. She comes away inspired by her every single time. Heather encourages leaders to rewrite their stories so to truly understand both who they really are and who they aspire to become. It's incredible work, aspiring to live her life every day to the fullest. Heather's intention, both personally and professionally, she's a cancer survivor, a proud parent, an engaged leader, and she is passionate about offering her expertise to help form exemplary leaders, teams, and organizations. She says, although the work, you know, that they do every day is vital to an organization, that isn't all that they should aspire to be or any of us should really aspire to be. It's really how well one treats the colleagues, how well you listen and question and encourage one another. That is really critical. Leaders and teams leveraging their amazing potential is the focus of what she does. HeatherClaytonConsulting.com is the website. You can learn more there. We'll talk about that more towards the end of the broadcast. But without further ado, let's welcome our very special guest, Heather Clayton, to CUTV News Radio Live for this exclusive one-on-one interview. Heather, thanks for joining us here. Happy New Year once again. I know we're celebrating the new year, new decade. So what a perfect time to really absorb and incorporate and apply the information that we're just about to share together on the broadcast. Welcome to the program. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. Yeah, it's a great time of setting intentions, isn't it, for the year to come?
It really is. Forget the resolutions, make it intentions.
Yeah.
Totally different positive spin on this. Over the years, you know, we're all inspired to do different things, and sometimes, you know, different wisdom develops, and we have that little bird on our shoulder that sort of points us in the direction of things that we end up doing in our lives that we love doing and that we're very effective at doing. How were you first inspired to not only create your business, but what was it about this type of work that really spoke to you and inspired you to want to pursue it?
That's a great question. I spent sort of the first 20 working years as a leader, as a member of a team, senior leadership team with colleagues and peers that were leaders. And I started to notice that leaders weren't creating the space they needed to do some of their own work, that in the busyness and the drive of the day-to-dayness of leadership and what's required with leadership, some of that strategic, reflective thinking, the pause that maybe we need wasn't happening. And the result of that can make it tricky for leaders and teams to kind of do their best work. So in 2016, I at that point, I had a master's in leadership, and I was certified as a coach, executive coach. And so I decided to step away from an amazing job, actually, on the West Coast of Canada, fabulous colleagues, all great. But I thought, you know, I want to go back to Ontario, set up my own business, and really begin to try and create this space that I believe is so important to the work we do in organizations as leaders and teams. And so that's what I've been doing in the past while. I've been just really helping leaders and teams to show up as their best selves.
So let's break that down for the audience so they really get a full appreciation and an understanding of the work that you do. How do you define an effective leader? Somebody who has always wanted to be a leader, somebody that perhaps maybe has transitioned into it, or maybe they've just been, due to circumstances, placed into the role of becoming a leader. How do you describe, detail what an actual effective leader is?
Well, I think, you know, I think a great leader is someone who inspires others to be great. And I think that happens in a number of ways. I think, you know, effective leaders, great leaders, are inspirational when they really know themselves well. So not just what they intend to happen, but what their actual impact is day to week to month. There's a lot of material out now that's talking about self-awareness and knowing ourselves and what we're bringing to work as probably the most important quality of effective leadership. And yet we often don't have time or, you know, don't make the time to do this work. And it's hard work. So it gets pushed sometimes to the back. So I think an effective leader really works at understanding who they are, their values, their inner critic, their aspirations and strengths. These are all important pieces. I also think because of the complexity in which we now work and live, effective leaders are really coach-like. They build up a skill set that has them showing up, you know, doing things like believing that the others have capacity, you know, that they're able to develop the others around them. I think effective leaders listen deeply, not just for that space in the conversation where they can insert themselves or their idea, but to what's being said and what's not being said even. I think effective leaders ask great questions that drive right to the heart of the matter. And I think if you're able to do those things, then the work that you have to do will happen because you will engage and inspire those that you work with.
And that is really a beautiful thing, isn't it? When you're able to engage and inspire others, that really is a pay it forward type of way of thinking. You know, there's a lot of coaches out there What are some of the things in terms of your perspective and the way that you approach things and the way that, you know, you tackle some of the issues that make you stand out maybe from anybody else out there that may do anything remotely similar?
Also a great question. There are a lot of amazing coaches out there. And I think there are probably three main pieces that I would say for me are a bit distinct. You mentioned some of them in the intro. One is that I work across many sectors. So IT, strategy, policing, education, finance, HR. Like, because what I discover is, although the applications may be nuanced and different in these various sectors, the challenges and the issues that leaders struggle with, there's commonality. When you go deep into some of these places, there's commonality. And so I am fluid and move across these sectors and learn from all of them. The second thing that I think is a bit different maybe is that I love to work one-on-one in my coaching, but I also enjoy the group. And I've come to see that there's a crucial relationship between leaders and teams. And so I work with both leaders and teams. And I've spoken to anywhere from 500 to 1,500 people. I'm comfortable with that. I was an educator in my background. And so that background really has me focusing on how adults learn and thinking deeply as I plan. I customize every learning opportunity that clients opt in for. And I think deeply about how that learning needs to progress so that they can engage. So that's the second, I guess the second piece maybe is that leadership and leader and team. And I think the other piece for me that's really important, and maybe as well to some others, is that idea of connecting current thinking, learning, and research to the organizations that I work with. So what I need, I need what I do to be aligned with the thought leaders and what they found to be effective. People's time and money are precious. And so we need the work that we're doing to be the most important work, the most effective work. And so I need that to be aligned with kind of what's out there in terms of what's important. So, Jim, can I just give you a quick example of what I mean by that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So recently I just finished a two-year project in our province of Ontario, working with three different school boards. But that project was both researched by the Ministry of Education in terms of how people progress through the three phases, as well as based on research. I had a great thought partner in a professor from the U.S., actually, Dr. Scott Taylor, who worked and shared his research with me such that I could be aligning the pieces that I was developing and implementing with these folks in a way that I knew had greater legs, if you will, or, you know, was aligned appropriately so that the work could happen. And we just got that research, the final phase, back. And it's really remarkable. People spoke so highly about the experience that they had in that 18 months of learning together, saying 100% of them said it was a good use of their time. That's pretty remarkable. But also, what I found more important or kind of more interesting is that many could put language around changes they've made both in their own practice, like internally and how they think and how they be, but also in their work with teams, such that others were beginning to comment. And in fact, this coach likeness that we were working towards was beginning to leak out and spread within the teams that these folks were coming from. So it's been really exciting. There's more about that on my website, but that idea of linking to research and being supported by research, I just think it's an important piece. Maybe that's my education speaking. I don't know, but it's something I really value.
But it's a great thing to value and to be proud of as well. You were also inspired by the book, Becoming a Resonant Leader, right?
Mm-hmm, I was. And so interesting, Richard Boyatzis writes this book, and he wrote Primal Leadership with Daniel Goleman in the 70s. He's been around for a long time. And the professor I referenced, Dr. Scott Taylor, is mentored by and does research with Richard Boyatzis. And so this is sort of how this all came together for me. And it was really interesting because it turns out most adults don't change easily or often. And I found this really distressing. In fact, when Dr. Taylor and I were speaking, I kind of wanted to do that thing where you put your hands over your ears and you hum a tune because you want to block it out. Because my life's work has been with adults and change. And I was like, how is this? You know, the data for sustainable change is terrible. And so what they've gone on to do and look at, and Boyatzis articulates in this book, is this idea of intentional change theory. And it's a complex thing, but very simply what it means is we can and will change at a much more significant or sustainable rate when we're clear about what we're aspiring to be and the change aligns with that. He's also, you know, after 50 years in the business, Boyatzis is now on his podcast and his books, he's talking about doing that work with the support of one-to-one coaching or mentorship. And so all of the stars align, and I was able to use this work with leaders and see them, you know, develop an aspirational vision for their own leadership and then live into that. And the energy and the positive change that came from that was powerful. And so that's where the inspiration of this comes from.
That's terrific. You know, obviously, we all have different areas where we really thrive. And you particularly thrive in working in groups as well as one-on-one coaching, Heather. Tell us about that and some of the nuances and differences between doing group types of settings and that individualized one-on-one coaching.
Mm-hmm. I love both. And I think both serve different purposes. What I've come to see is that groups having a common language and a common learning experience builds far greater potential, I think, for change to occur. So what I mean by that is when we have a shared experience, you know, it might be a retreat, it might be something, you know, days set aside to do the work, and we learn together in a group from a shared set of principles or content or skills that we're practicing, then when we go back to the office, the work is much richer and the accountability for implementing that learning is higher because we are talking about it and looking for it and experiencing it. And so I think that there's a really nice parallel process, and I've done this with many groups now where you're coaching one-on-one with leaders so they can really get deep with their own particular work that relates specifically to their leadership in the context of a larger umbrella set of work with a group who is then able to reinforce and talk about and question and positively support one another as they implement that learning. So I don't want to minimize one or the other. I think we just need to ask ourselves, what are the best conditions that we can create that will allow for maximum growth and engagement? And that's the question always as I work with clients, you know, and we articulate, what are your goals? What does that need to look like? That's where we go is trying to figure that out. How are we going to get maximum growth and learning here?
So let's talk about how you actually go about the work that you do, the extraordinary work that you do, Heather. How do the coaching sessions work? Do you initially do an assessment? Do you sort of break down some of the issues that they're dealing with? I imagine it's two major things in the beginning are establishing trust between you and the client and the client and you, and then also really being an extraordinary listener, listening to the issues, listening to the concerns, the hopes, the dreams, the desires, seeing some of the personality conflicts or nuances about how one is engaging with the other one or not engaging with the other one. It's a whole ball of wax of different things, right?
Yes, Jim. Are you a coach undercover?
as an on-air host, more than likely, and psychologist for many.
Exactly. Love it. I think you're exactly right. We need to build trust from the outset. There needs to be great listening. I generally set up a series that starts with a foundation session. Folks come having, you know, received some questions from me to reflect on, and the goal of that is to begin to set some solid goals that they're going to work on through the coaching experience. Some of the questions that I send folks to think about in advance, questions like, what are you most proud of? What strengths do you bring to your relationship? Or when you're at your best, what does that look and sound like? I find a number of my clients struggle to answer those questions. It's like they've gotten so into the work that they've almost forgotten, you know, the core of who they are and why they were called to that work. And it can be quite a powerful session to unpack that and then use that energy to frame up goals and next steps as we move forward. And so we'll meet over a series of sessions, usually every 3 to 4 weeks for an hour, and then we'll wrap up with a finishing strong session, I like to call it, where clients are able to say, you know, do I want to continue with coaching? How am I going to continue this learning? Identify what have I learned? How has this made a difference? And what's my next step? What's my next learning edge? And so that's sort of how the process of coaching works. And of course, as you mentioned, I use some tools strategically where I think it's important. I love Type Coach Verifier as one way of folks and teams getting to know one another. Sometimes clients want to do a 360 where they're getting data and a 360 done well. Notice I said done well because they're often not done well, in my opinion. A 360 done well provides a lot of data for a coaching client to begin to work, and also models the power of a leader open to feedback, and using that feedback visibly is incredible in terms of the buy-in the team has then for what that leader's asking them or wanting them to do.
You have this wonderful experience in working with the police force too, and I would imagine that can really get very, very deep. There's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of quick movement, quick action, quick response, thinking ahead. There's so many variables when you're dealing with such an industry where it's, you know, think on your feet, react, logic, just all these different things that come into play. Mm. Tell us about the experience of working with the police force. That must have been extraordinary.
I just am so impressed with those leaders that are showing up to do the work, to grow and learn and improve their practice. And you can appreciate, and I think you've nuanced this in the intro to this question, the complexity of this culture. I think there's lots of complexity now in the world for leadership, absolutely. And I think in policing, it may even add some more layers of complexity. You think about the culture. You think about the community and the response to the community and to the crime. And yet, there's this growing sense in policing that coaching is a tool that is really helpful and supportive. Even when you think about leadership and that whole idea of command and control versus empowerment, you know, and when to do what, because both are important. So that's been really just really awesome to be doing this work. And then, again, as you mentioned in the intro, working with one of the police women who's at the senior table. And she's the only female on the police side at the senior table. And it's all new territory. And so she is really using coaching to try to – she's doing work with her own teams. And she's using coaching to try and really help her to articulate and to know who she wants to be and how she wants to show up at that table. Because when she does that as her best self, the whole team benefits. And they get to hear different perspectives and learn things that perhaps they wouldn't know otherwise. And so that's been kind of the fun. And then she and I are now talking about, how could we take this further? You know, are there other women leaders in policing that we should touch base with, et cetera? So, it's really exciting work. And I do need to say, oh, my goodness, these folks that do this work, I wouldn't trade spots with them. And yet there they are trying to get better at what they're doing. So it's pretty awesome to be a part of that for sure.
That's terrific. That's really exciting. And again, it's great work that you're doing, Heather. How do you feel great leaders can inspire other great leaders? I'm sure you see that all the time.
Yes, yeah. And I think I spoke to this a little bit at the beginning of our interview. I just really think it is about knowing yourself and showing up coach-like with that listening and deep engagement with people so that you can get to the heart of what matters and move the work forward. You always have to move the work forward. This isn't an either-or conversation, but it's knowing and seeing that when we are engaging with our people, the work does move, and it moves sometimes to places we hadn't even anticipated. And I think that's inspirational from a leader perspective and also from a team perspective.
It's exciting. It really, really is. And I know that you're very passionate. You live and breathe this work, and because it's, you know, so empowering. And when you empower and inspire one, you're doing that for really many. Talked about, you know, some of the aspirations or some of the qualities of a great leader. What do you think are, and I could say that everything that you've just described answers this for us, that Heather Clayton matches what this question is. But from your own perspective, what do you think are some of the qualities of an effective coach?
Yes, I think there are probably four that I would say are most important. The first is, I think an effective coach is a learner, always and forever, full stop. We have to keep growing and learning, or we just simply can't help others to do that. I also think an effective coach creates a safe but rigorous place for work. So what I mean is, it's a non-judgmental, curious place with deep listening, you know, questions that move people, as we've talked about, to kind of the heart of what they need to explore and then the actions they need to take. I think an effective coach creates that. And you mentioned trust as well, Jim, and that would be in that mix. I also think an effective coach likes to have fun and laugh. You know, this is a place of deep relationship, and coaching is for the high will, high skill people. Coaching, in my view, is not a remediation tool. It's one that really moves into deep relationship and helps those excellent leaders become even more excellent. And I think actually the last thing that an effective coach is that an effective coach recognizes the great privilege that it is to walk alongside leaders in this way. This privilege that we get to do this, is something we ought never to take for granted.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You're working on a lot of things for the future, too. What are some of the future endeavors that you anticipate for your coaching business? New year, new decade, really a wonderful time to expand, grow, and reach more people.
Yeah. For sure. One of the things I'm doing more intentionally, and I'm fortunate because I have folks working with me on projects that are this way, but I'm really looking to work with leaders who are seeking kind of the depth and breadth that's possible, the long game. Lots can say, can you come and do a half day and teach us how to coach? And yes, I can, but will that be sustainable? Probably not. And so I'm looking for that long game, let's leave a legacy kind of a leader more intentionally, and so grateful to be working with some of those. I also spoke about the government project. It's on hold due to some of the funding cuts and things in our province, but one of the directors and I are continuing to talk about ways that we can return to this, because it was very successful and people did make changes, and so it's possible that we'll go back to that in some ways in the spring. I'm excited to see what happens for women in policing, all of policing for sure. And then this for the new year, to your question, is the women piece is interesting to me. You know, what's really interesting about this work is that every day is an adventure. You never know who's going to call up and what journey you're going to be invited to take with them. And so I find that really exciting, daunting some days, but mostly exciting. But when I really ultimately, when I think about future endeavors of my business, Jim, I would love to be put out of business because leaders and teams in organizations were so coach-like in their approaches that they didn't need me or any other coaches any longer. Can you imagine a world like that? It's awesome. So that's my future endeavor.
Well, that's exciting. That's terrific. It's great stuff. And, you know, I encourage folks to go to the website to learn more about you and your extraordinary, brilliant career, your experience, the services that you can provide. I know predominantly in Canada, but looking to also expand beyond, maybe into the United States and other areas, which is always a wonderful opportunity for anybody listening to our broadcast, no matter where they are around the world. Go to Heather, H-E-A-T-H-E-R, Clayton, C-L-A-Y-T-O-N, consulting.com. That's Heather Clayton consulting.com to speak with and explore more with our very special guest on the broadcast, Heather Clayton. Heather, thanks for joining us here. A real pleasure meeting you virtually on air and learning about your story, the phenomenal things you do, some case studies, and hope we get a chance to potentially explore more down the line together. That would be wonderful. Thanks for being with us on the show today.
Thank you so much, Jim. I appreciate it.
You are very, very welcome. Keep up the amazing work, and I'm sure we'll be chatting again real soon. You're doing incredible work that really makes our world a better place, and we love that here at CUTV and Close Up Television and Radio. Jim Masters here, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, audience, and thanks for being with us all around the world. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Again, I encourage you to go to heatherclaytonconsulting.com to connect with our very special guest, Heather Clayton. For all of us here, thanks for being with us. Stay tuned. We'll have another great guest coming up momentarily from around the world that we'll be celebrating right here on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us here, thanks for being with us, and you have a great day. Bye for now.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.